LLC. Yeah! When that robot voice comes in, you know it's time to begin. And wherever you are, whenever you are, and however you happen to be listening, we're so glad you've chosen to tune in to
DLC.
That's right, I was a bit early. But it's cool, especially if you are one of our geeks and sneaks using this podcast to power you through a workout or a run. We're going to be in your ear holes for 90 plus minutes of gaming goodness because DLC is your downloadable commentary for the week delivered the way we love it to be. And that is completely free thanks to our patrons over at patreon.com/DLCpod. They bring the show to you. They, with their generosity and show of support, bring the show to you, and we are grateful. We are grateful. But it's also cool because they get stuff in return. They get ad-free episodes. They get video versions of the show, and they even get an entire bonus program we call Paid DLC. That comes out on Wednesdays, and it features our friend Lana Bashinsky joining us to talk about whatever happens to be coming up. It is a free-form, let's say more casual version of the show. And the patrons, they do love it. They have told us how much they enjoy that. You could be one of them. All you got to do is go over to patreon.com/DLCpod. Support the show. Make sure it continues. And get yourself some extra bonus cool stuff. DLC, of course, the show all about games. In their many forms, games played on desktops, laptops, and consoles. Also, games that involve dice, luck, and cardboard. I'm your host, Jeff Cannata, that's spelled with two N's and one T. And I am joined, as always, by my friend, slash co-host, slash nemesis. The guy who, I'll be honest, I'm really happy to be talking to today. I've had a rough week, Christian Spicer. Thanks for being here and being a friend.
I'm happy to be here. I heard about, we were chatting before the show, and my heart's out. You know that we are here for you, and that is a specific we, as in my family and also the listeners of this show. I know as well. I jumped on. I was off. I'm off almost all social media, but I was off even our Discord for a bit as my week sent me to the Great White North for some stuff. But we are here for you. I am happy to chat games with you, and hopefully that this show can be a respite for you and anyone else listening. It's a tough week in general. We are recording on September 11th. When you are listening to this, if you're not live with us, it will be after that. But that is also a very hard day for many. I've had some friends that it was a particularly hard day for. And I think as we get further from it, sometimes that is even more isolating because it is still a very hard day for you. And others have, moved on, quote unquote. So I mentioned it last week, and I am proud of our community, and we are here for you, Jeff, and we are here for all of our listeners. So hopefully we can have some fun talking video games.
Well, I appreciate that. I only bring it up as a way of acknowledging that I may be a little off. I've been through the ringer this week. I'm emotionally and physically exhausted, but that is one of the things I love about our hobby and the ability to do this show to talk about our hobby is that it is an escape. It is a source of joy and community that allows me to not think about my troubles. I've been in the hospital all week with my daughter. If you're following me on social media, I just wanted to acknowledge that. And so if I'm a little distracted or off or low energy, you know why. But I do love doing the show. I wouldn't miss it. Got back from the hospital about 20 minutes ago. My wife and daughter are still there. We don't know when we get to come home with her, but we hope it is soon. She's doing well, and I do appreciate a lot of people that have reached out and said kind things to me online about it. It does mean a lot to me to have that show of support. You have had we missed you last Wednesday on Paid DLC, Christian, because you were off enjoying the Great White North and its various virtues. Glad to have you back. Thank you for being here.
Happy to be here. And I'll tell our guests if they're not patrons and not seeing the video version of this. I won't spoil our listeners. Actually, I'm not going to spoil our guests. We have a great guest. But before we get to that, I just want to say a little tease. We're all wearing gray today. We're looking great. We are dressed.
Yeah. We are great. we like to coordinate with the guests of wardrobe. It's a very lengthy process. It involves many, many emails. I'm excited because it has been way too long since this guest has joined us. You know, the DLC always stands for your downloadable Kanata and your downloadable Christian. But this week, once again, I'm excited because DLC stands for divisions, leagues, and conferences. Because once again, we have our official, unofficial sports correspondent on DLC. Also, the head of business development for Come to Us USA. Our friend, Rich Grisham, is back with us. Hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing great. On behalf of everybody, Jeff, as you know, we're all thinking of you. We're all praying for you and your wife and your daughter and your son and everybody. We've got your back, and we love what you do. We love what you do with Christian. We love what you do in all the different places that you do it. And we're all here because of that. I was looking through some old correspondences I have. I've been chatting with you and Christian and working on projects and going back to the weekend confirmed days. It's about 15 years, I think, since My we goodness. First started chatting, which is amazing to me. And so anyway, we're all thinking of you, Jeff, and we love you. And we're praying for you and your family and everybody.
I appreciate that. What he means, Christian, is that we're not just wearing gray. You know what I'm saying?
I will say I met a lovely individual this past week in Canada, and they had a shirt on from a very hip fashion designer. And on that, it had a year on it that was in the 1990s, also very hip and very cool. And we're like, oh, that's such a great shirt, such a cool logo. Like, what drew you to them? And they explained the designer. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard of them. That's very cool. And then this person went, and also that was the year I was born. And I was like, oh. You brought violence to this party. I see what you just did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, also, Rich, I got to say, it has been way too long since we had you on. It used to be a yearly occurrence. We used to bring you on in August as we were sort of gearing up for the big season of releases for sports video games. And COVID happened, and somehow it's been a couple of years since we've had you on.
It's all good.
It's awesome to have you back.
I love the show. I've been listening since the first show and before, and so I'm just thrilled to be here. I love it. I can't wait to talk about all the good stuff we're going to talk about.
And we have a ton to get to. Very, very big week of gaming news. So let's jump right in and start the show the way we always do, with Story of the Week.
Story of the Week. It's the Story of the Week. Story of the Week. It's the Story of the Week.
Story of the Week is the part of the show where we make our case for the most important stories that happened in the world of games this week. You can always submit stories for our consideration by sending us an email to dlcfeedback@gmail.com. That's also where you can send comments or questions or anything you'd like us to know. We love hearing from you at dlcfeedback@gmail.com. Your own parting gifts, that's where you send those as well. You can also post on our various community message centers. Center. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I told you
with an R E like Centre. Yeah. You know, like,
yeah. Yeah, you know, it's a message center. It's there's a switchboard. It's it's amazing. We got pigeons that'll send you email, send you mail it on their feet.
I'll take it. 560 West Main Street, Suite. What is it? Suite C252, Alhambra, California. Send your messenger pigeon there. Address to me. And my gosh, if I get it, I will send that person a special.
You will then have to take care of a pigeon. That will be your, you'll have to now care.
Don't send me a messenger pigeon. Send me something via.
My message is, please don't let this pigeon die. That's
okay. Well, I'm glad Jeff edited that part out, dear listeners. You didn't know what just happened, but it was just embarrassing.
You're you unfurl the little message on the foot and it says, adopt me.
I thought you were saying you unfurl the message on the foot and it's a pigeon, like another.
Anyway, we do have a Discord. 5x5 DLC is the Discord, and the subreddit is 5x5 DLC on subreddit. See, you thought there was no reason for me to bring this up at the beginning of the show. I knew I was going to be a hot mess this week, so here you go. Proof in the pudding. But
emphasis, Rich, on hot, by the way, for people not watching the video version.
Yeah, I think you mean gray mess. I'm a gray mess. Rich, you are our guest. And, you know, usually I would say your pick of stories, and that's still going to be the case. But this week we got not one, but two massive game smorgasbords. The Nintendo directification of the world continues, of the gaming world continues. We got two showcases, and I want to step through both of them. So my question to you, Rich, is which of the showcases are you most excited about?
Always Nintendo.
Well, because Nintendo. Nintendo's next week, I hear.
Oh, I thought that's we were leaning forward. You know what?
We have Disney and we have Ubisoft.
Yeah. Well, if I'm being completely transparent, it's going to be Ubisoft just because I play a lot more of their games than the other ones.
Let's start there then. That's great. Perfect choice. Ubisoft had their Ubisoft Forward event for 2022, which had a big focus on Assassin's Creed. It's the 15th anniversary. Speaking of old, Christian, 15 years since the first Assassin's Creed came out, which I remember covering in depth on the Totally Rad Show. And
the first game's future part is now took place in the past. That's how long it's been.
That's right. Yeah. It's another ancient history scenario now.
They're going to reboot the first one in that ancient period is in the old one's future period and the future period. It's all backwards now.
That's not good. but it wasn't just Assassin's Creed. Lots of Ubisoft stuff. Focus on Mario plus Rabbids Spark of Hope. We got Skull and Bones is a thing. We got a massive trailer for Skull and Bones. Went into detail about the gameplay. Saw the gameplay. Of course, Just Dance is a thing. Trackmania franchise that's coming to consoles now. We got all kinds of Division. The Division franchise is diversifying as well. Riders Republic. My question to you, Rich, is of these Ubisoft games, I mean, I two-pronged question. First is, which of these things had you most excited, most interested? And secondly, what Ubisoft thing that didn't show up at the Ubisoft Forward event for 2022 are you most disappointed didn't make an appearance?
Oh, my. So this is definitely not my area of deep expertise as many people would refer to me as a hopeless casual when it comes to what the cool kids are playing and or are most excited for. I sort of operate and most of the games that I play are usually about 3 years to 5 years behind what everyone else is. So just to be, you know, clear as to where my focus is, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe I'm going to name something off the board or off of your board, but that was mentioned, if I have my information right, is Valiant Hearts. I believe there was a new Valiant Hearts, and Valiant Hearts is probably why I chose Ubisoft to talk about first, because I love that game.
Coming to Netflix, Valiant Hearts.
That's what it is. I love that game. I love that time period in terms of I'm fascinated by the First World War and European battlefields and all of that, you know, that goes along with it. Always have been. So that's actually what I'm most looking forward to.
That's a great pull. You're right. I did not put that as part of my overview, and it is overlooked by me. Ubisoft had a major announcement as part of their Forward. In their partnership with Netflix. Netflix, of course, has added a number of mobile games to their mobile app. And
they're looking to become the Xbox of games.
I think they're becoming the Apple
arcade. The Apple arcade of games. Yeah.
Valiant Hearts 2, Mighty Quest for Epic Loot, and an Assassin's Creed game are all coming to the Netflix mobile app as part of your Netflix subscription. The Valiant Hearts sequel is going to be evidently directed by the same team behind the first game, and it will launch in January 2023. So you're excited. This is like a true sequel, true, hopefully will carry the torch for a game that you have a lot of love for.
And it's not like that time period can't support many different stories from many different perspectives, right? So who knows what it will be in terms of the content. I'm just telling you, that game, especially the ending, where you realize what's happening and what you can and cannot do about what's happening, you know, other than maybe in a moment I had with Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, like that. I think I had the most impactful emotional moment in a video game when at the end of Valiant Hearts. So that's that's one that stands out.
That's awesome. That's not a game I played, but so you speaking so highly of it makes me much more interested to check out this sequel when it drops in January.
Well, and it shouldn't take you a whole lot of time. You know, one of the things that we'll talk about later is most games that I play now don't take a lot of time. And that's another one that you can play that in a few hours. It won't, it's not going to take, it's not going to take a whole lot of time too.
That's very cool.
Now, as far as looking forward, I think, what I'm most interested in sort of hearing or what has interested me is that the Assassin's Creed franchise is going to be dropping the duality of the modern day and the historical stuff. And so when I hear that and then I think, okay, well, if they could do that and then also put it into like a 15-hour game, like what I would love to hear them tell me is that if they said we're going old school, you know, Assassin's Creed lore, mythology, without all the new stuff, new modern day stuff. And it's going to be just like a 15-hour story where you get to make cool decisions and then fight people and then win. Like, I would love that in an Assassin's Creed.
That doesn't sound very Ubisoft to me.
No, I'm expecting it. Not expecting it, but would love it.
Well, you know, it is cool. One of the things I do love about Ubisoft is they've never met a platform they didn't want to fall completely in love with. You know, they've never met a platform that are like, we will make a game specifically for that. Stadia, you got it. Wii U, all in. Luna, yep. So here we have Netflix. And it does not surprise me at all that Ubisoft is saying, hey, we got games specifically for that Netflix platform because they love everybody. And Ubisoft's on every platform. Hard, you know, like real in on the platform. So that's kind of cool with those three games. As for Assassin's Creed, clearly that was a big thrust of this event, making a big deal of the 15th anniversary. And I think they're trying to position Assassin's Creed as having something for everybody. Certainly, there were no fewer than six Assassin's Creed things announced or confirmed or rumored or talked about in the Ubisoft Forward event. So I will enumerate them for anybody that's getting their news from us. We have a live action Assassin's Creed series on Netflix. We have Assassin's Creed Mirage, which was the big leaked next Assassin's Creed game. It'll be a big throwback to the original Assassin's Creed. So this is not like the most recent stuff, not like Valhalla, not like Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Origins, not the RPG version of Assassin's Creed. This is back to its roots of assassinating dudes and dudettes.
That's assassinating only
history. What?
That's only what it looks like from far away. When you get closer to it, you realize it is a big RPG. It's the classic. They duped you with the Mirage. So when you're far away and thirsty, it looks like Assassin's Creed 1 or 2. And then you get closer,
classic
and Origins. And you're like, oh, they got me.
I thought you were doing an assassin thing, like blending into its environment and hard to make out. But no, you just went full Mirage. I like that.
Yeah, full Mirage.
So this it will star Basim, who is a character from Valhalla. But this is the prequel is Basim becoming Basim. It's sort of an origin story for that character 20 years before the events of Valhalla. It takes place in Baghdad. This is like, you know, OG Assassin's Creed, this is Assassin's Creed classic is what this is. We also have three code names: Assassin's Creed Jade, which is the mobile game version of Assassin's Creed, which is probably the closest one to something that you were describing, Rich, which I would think more, who knows? The mobile games can be hundreds of hours, so you never
Absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
And I think Mirage could be shorter. You know, if it is leaning into Assassin's Creed 2, and there's been some rumors of that it is focused and tells a story and gets out. So yeah, we'll see.
I mean, and they said it's much more narrative focused. So maybe that's the game you'll love, Rich. But Jade is the mobile game set in ancient China. So, you know, obviously the Assassin's Creed franchise takes place in different time periods and different settings around the world, historical settings. We're finally getting a China version with the codename Jade. Again, these codenames, I think, are not final subtitles for the Assassin's Creed games. But we have codename Jade. We have codename Red, which is the long rumored and long predicted by me. I think I was predicting it 8 years ago on one of our first end of the year prediction shows. I was predicting that the feudal Japan would be an Assassin's Creed game. I'm finally right, Christian.
Everyone knows.
Right.
Everyone knows. Everyone knows the best predictions are won. You made 8 years ago.
Anyway, a lot of people obviously predicted feudal Japan. It's finally happening. We're getting a sort of a shinobi Assassin's Creed game. This is the one, for my money. You know, I fell in love with the Assassin's Creed franchise with Origins and especially Odyssey. When it really did become a full action RPG game instead of this assassination stealth game. And it sounds like the team behind Odyssey is the one doing Red, the feudal Japan game. And it does sound like this one is that role-playing game. They mentioned it specifically is going to be an Assassin's Creed RPG. That's the one I'm excited about. We don't know when it's coming. It's not 2023. It's farther ahead than that because Mirage is the one that we see on the horizon on 2023. We also heard codename Hexa, which is this mysterious sort of occult themed Assassin's Creed where it looks a little Blair Witchian. How many are we up to? That's a lot of Assassin's Creed things. Wait, there's more. Assassin's Creed Infinity, which is the long rumored title of a thing where we thought it was going to be a sort of a Halo Infinity or, you know, Destiny 2 kind of, you know, a game as service version of Assassin's Creed. Well, no, it turns out Assassin's Creed Infinity isn't a game at all. It's merely a front end for all these other Assassin's Creeds that somehow includes multiplayer. It's very unclear, but it will be a connection point for all the Assassin's Creed. Yeah, I think this is going to be your Animus kind of dealio, but a lot of mystery around that. How many Assassin's Creed things are we up to? A lot of Assassin's Creed things, you guys. So, Rich, is it too much Assassin's Creed?
No, it's not too much. Okay. And clearly, there's a market for it, right? If it was too much, they wouldn't be, and I don't mean to sound so base, I don't even know how it sounds obnoxious, but they wouldn't do it if there wasn't a market for it. Now, that doesn't mean they will all necessarily be wildly successful, but no, it's not too much until the market and the people say too much, you know, and that happens. It happened to Star Wars, right? There was right. too much, and then they
now they're doing way more.
Took a break, right? And now they're back, right? Yeah. I mean, it comes and goes, but no, it's not too much. I mean, I know plenty of people who love the Assassin's Creed franchise. I played plenty of it. Far Cry is more my Ubisoft main, if that makes sense. No, it's not too much. It's probably what the fans want the most.
Yeah. I got to say, I loved the presentation around the Assassin's Creed. Like, they went to this satellite location that was just focused on Assassin's Creed, this kind of musty library looking thing. And I just love the folks that they got. It is so hit or miss for me, the people that present these showcases. And man, what a hit.
Tough job.
it is a tough job. And we'll talk about the Disney showcase. I thought Blessing did a great job there. But I especially love the voiceover guy and the producer woman that they had. I should know their names. It's been a long week. I thought they had great chemistry and they really kind of casually, it didn't feel forced at all, which it so often does. Anyway, Christian, Assassin's Creed, pick out a favorite. We've seen lots of supernatural stuff in Assassin's Creed. You know, you fight mythological creatures often, even in these historical games. But it looks like this Hexa one is going to be full on, almost The Witcher, I'm guessing. At least that's the hint. We only got kind of a logo. But do you have a standout of this Assassin's Creed smorgasbord?
I feel bad because I feel like I'm falling back, and this is like my old type if you've listened to this show for a long time. No. this th- I, I I did not understand this presentation. They feel so far away. They feel so, and I get celebrating 15 years of a major franchise, of which I've probably played all 15 years of it, you know, like, but this, I think the presentation itself, which we often talk about, like how those feel, I think the presentation itself was done very well. And I agree with you, but I don't understand it from like a, so far away. I mean, Skull and Bones is a perfect example of a game that they first announced 5 years ago, maybe longer. Like, not trying to do my generic, it was 5 years ago. I think 5 years ago or longer, and it's now actually happening. And this other stuff is the earliest one is a vague 2023. And then all of this other stuff that I feel like without additional details, I'm kind of left scratching my head to, like, what is Assassin's Creed? And I agree with Rich wholeheartedly that the market has clearly supported this franchise, and there's a hunger for it, and you see really awesome cosplay at events for these characters, and it's a really rich, cool looking world that they've built. But so far all the games have kind of been iterative or additive, where it's kind of slowly evolved into what Origins and Odyssey and Valhalla were, right? Like, each game kind of the franchise grew. And I'm trying to think of other franchises, and Jeff, maybe you or Rich have examples that you can pull in the moment that I wasn't able to, of like, this is a brand, maybe it is another Ubisoft, maybe it's Rainbow Six, that might be it. But it's like Assassin's Creed as a brand, if these games are so different, I don't know what that brand represents necessarily. And just the way video games have been for the last 2.5 years, I don't know. I think it might be another 15 before some of these games have come out.
I don't know. I'll push back on that a little bit. I think the thing for me that is special about Assassin's Creed that I feel like they leaned into with this presentation in a really effective way for me is the fact that it is the unifying idea of Assassin's Creed is you kill people in different historical time periods, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool to say, hey, we're working in multiple historical time periods all at the same time. And here's the ones that you can look forward to. You know, there's going to be this Baghdad one. That's next. Then after that, there's going to be this China, you know, ancient China one. And then there's going to be a feudal Japan one. And then there's going to be this kind of spooky, scary, weird one. I think it's cool to say, hey, that is what's special about this franchise, is that each one has its own flavor.
And they pretty much eliminate worries about people leaking their games now too, right? It's all out there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't think they would necessarily have done it this way if it wasn't a big anniversary year, you know? I think that was kind of the fun thing. It's like, hey, we're making a big deal about this. This is how important this franchise is to us. Here's the roadmap for the next 5 years. And I think that's kind of rad. I mean, obviously, I don't think any of these Assassin's Creeds are going to come out in the same calendar year. I mean, maybe the mobile game will come out in the same year as something else, but it feels like it's like this is one and then this one and then this one, and there's different teams working on each of them, and they're going to feel a little different. I think that's kind of rad. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it is just the Ubisoft of it all, and then just kind of what COVID did to games. We're like Ubisoft, like Skull and Bones. I feel like I've seen numerous presentations for their next big multiplayer game, and the alpha's available now, and I played it for like the 2 weeks and then it's gone, or Beyond Good and Evil 2, and who knows what that is or when that comes out. So all of the, it seemed cool, but I am very much like, you know, wake me up when I can buy it, not when I can pre-order it, you know.
Yeah,
because that's now, but when right. I can buy it or actually play it. It's kind of how I felt watching a lot of the Assassin's Creed stuff for this.
All right, I don't know. I kind of got jazzed about it. I mean, I was a little immediately crestfallen a bit when they described Assassin's Creed Mirage as being a throwback to that first game or the first two games, because I didn't care for those. They were not my favorite games at the time. Even the second one, as improved as it was, still, it was not the kind of game that I enjoy the most. And the series has evolved into a game I very, very much enjoy. You know, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is still in my pantheon of favorite game experiences ever. So I'm very much hoping that they continue that type of Assassin's Creed experience. And it's kind of cool that it seems like they are doing both. They are letting people have their cake and eat it too. We're doing a Mirage, which is this kind of this type of Assassin's Creed game. And then it sounds like these other ones are going to, or at least one of these other ones is going to be more of that thing that it has changed into. And I don't know. I just thought, hey, this really does feel like they're making different types of games across different types of time periods. And it really felt like an expansion of the franchise. And I got really excited. I thought it was really well done and really coherent. But I will say, Christian, I take your point, and I wonder if there are other parts of this Ubisoft Forward event that did resonate with you, or at least resonated more. Is there something that you would pluck out as being something that you were excited about?
I mean, it's been the same for me now for several months. I think Spark of Hope continues to look incredible, and that feels very tangible.
Yeah.
And for the back half of this year, where many things have kind of cleared out, and there are some games that I'm excited about, certainly God of War Ragnarok, but seeing more Spark of Hope, seeing the joy, and it seems like the fun that team has had with that franchise and the love they're putting into that game, that to me stood out. I mean, Trackmania, how it works on consoles is interesting to me, but everything else, I think Mario plus Rabbids Spark of Hope seems to be the most joy-filled game coming pretty soon here.
Are you excited about Rayman?
As a character? Yeah. I love those games. The mobile games were great. That character is awesome. It's fun to see that Ubisoft hasn't Sam Fishered him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they did to, I don't know, Sam Fisher. Yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, it's interesting that Division 2 is still the sort of heart of the Division franchise. It feels like maybe it's time for the Division 3 to be a thing, and I'm sure they're working on that at some point. But, they keep committing to more Division 2 content, which was interesting. Riders Republic continues to get more stuff. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty solid thing overall, and notable for some of the stuff they left out, but it felt more focused for the stuff they left out. And I got excited about Assassin's Creed. I will say this about the entire Ubisoft Forward event. It was an absolute delight for fans of variety and depth and specificity in European accents. Oh my goodness. There were so many different European accents. It was just a joy. It was a fun Italian guy, a variety of French people, Englishmen, English women. It was. I think there were some Swedes. I don't know. It was amazing. It was just every new person that came on had a completely different accent, and it was a delight for me.
Well, clearly, you never read the screen at the beginning of all of their games, Jeff. The proof is in the pudding. It's made by a diverse team across the globe of differing views, whatever else it says.
Delightful accents. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in somebody's D&D campaign, and there was a new... or, I don't know, my own D&D campaign, except they're much better accents than I can do. Anyway, that was the Ubisoft Forward 2022 event. Let me take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor. We are sponsored again this week by Backbone, which, Christian, I know you are a huge fan of. In fact, you were crowing about Backbone long before I gave it a chance. You have been talking about Backbone for actual years as something that has allowed you to have console-like gaming experiences on your iPhone, right?
Yeah. And not only with the controller, but the software side of it as well. Like, it feels like you're diving into and playing an integrated console-like experience that brings accurate every button I'm holding up for the non-video people, the PlayStation version of it has that cool little peekaboo out the back. But every button and control and everything that you'd want and need from it, and it just works. It just works. And I've loved it. Yeah, I think since day zero, I've been a big fan.
You have, yeah. You talked about it a bunch of years past on the show about how you prefer to play mobile games, and now I know as you're a huge fan of game services that allow you to stream games to your phone, it's the perfect way to play those as well. Backbone As you pointed out, as you showed to video viewers, they just released that PlayStation edition of the Backbone 1. This is an officially licensed controller for PlayStation that was brought to life in collaboration with the PlayStation design team. So it feels like the DualSense controller, but you just slide your iPhone right into it. So simple. It's got this really brilliant kind of spring-loaded thing, which means it's compact. You can take it on the go. And you just plug your iPhone into the Backbone, and then you can enjoy console quality controls while you play console games with cloud streaming or remote play or app store games. I mean, games that are local on your iPhone or the games that you get from services. You can get, you know, obviously games like Apex Legends Mobile, COD Mobile, Genshin Impact is great. Minecraft, of course. This is the perfect way to make your transform your phone into feeling like a console experience. And it makes it simple to take those things on the go. I mean, I love mobile gaming devices of all kinds, but it's easy to not bring them with you places. And sometimes they are clunky and large and obnoxious to bring some, to put in a backpack. They take up all this space. Backbone, simple, elegant, small. You have your phone with you anyway. It's great. It's great. And like, you know, like Christian said, he's been using it for years. It's the only way, you know, to play this kind of console quality games. I hate touch controls so much. Actual buttons, triggers, analog sticks that click. You know, it's exactly what you want when you're playing these console games, especially from cloud streaming services. So go to playbackbone.com/DLC now. And you can order your Backbone for a limited time. You'll get free access to over 350 console games and perks. Backbone, of course, is also now the official partner of Diablo Immortal. And not only is the game specifically optimized for Backbone, but you will also receive $10 in in-game perks. So if you're digging on Diablo Immortal, this is the way to do it with the Backbone. Find your next adventure at playbackbone.com/DLC. That's PlayBackbone.com/DLC. All right. The other big presentation that happened this week, the other big showcase, was a first of its kind. Disney Games had its first ever showcase that was part of D23. Which is the big Disney, pan-Disney empire rolling out of all the Marvel properties and Star Wars-y things and Pixar stuff and, you know, all the Disney media entries that'll be happening in the next while. Now, of course, also includes a gaming section. And this, man, talk about a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. This Disney game showcase was, it's like getting into Space Mountain and getting shot out of a cannon. I just felt like it was a blazingly fast pace. It was like 20 minutes, 22 minutes, something like that. And they showed a ton of things in that time. I felt like I couldn't even breathe. Friend of the show and our friend Blessing Jr. was the host, and I thought he did a great job. But man, it just was like this lightning quick rundown of tons of stuff. You barely had time to look at what the thing that just happened. You're in the next thing. It was just wildly, wildly paced, in my opinion. But I'll run down some of the highlights. And Christian, you can tell me what you're most excited about. We got a new Amy Hennig game. She, of course, one of the co-creators of the original Uncharted series. And this looks like very much a story-driven narrative third-person action experience, although we didn't get to see any actual gameplay, but we got a teaser trailer. It's a set in the Marvel universe with a young Steve Rogers, T'Challa's grandfather, who's a World War II era Black Panther, a U.S. soldier and a member of the Howling Commandos, and a Wakandan spy. These four characters, we don't know how they'll interact, but pretty evocative trailer there. We got a date for Midnight Suns. We got an announcement of a new Tron game.
Wait, a date for Midnight Suns. you can't just gloss over Jeff was wrong and the game got moved up. Yeah, Jeff was wrong.
Well, it got moved back and then it got, I was right before I was wrong.
I mean, but currently you're wrong. So you're
still
wrong.
No, the transitive property of right, I think, means.
I saw Rich take a sip of his water or something just to keep from agreeing with me. But Rich, it's okay to agree with me that.
Midnight Suns coming out this year against all odds. Pretty wild. A new Tron game called Tron Identity. We don't know anything about it other than it exists. We got a new 2D platformer with Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Goofy. That's coming to the Switch. We got Marvel World of Heroes. We got some Avatar games. We got a Marvel Snap release date. Return to Monkey Island details. We got Aliens Dark Descent that we saw gameplay of for like a half a second and then we moved on. We got a remaster of the old Gargoyles game based on that cartoon of our youths. Disney Dreamlight, Disney Speedstorm. In 22 minutes, it was just all like brrr, just going like nuts. So Christian, I think I might know the answer to this, but I'm curious what you thought the standout of the Disney game showcase was.
Illusion Island.
Oh, nice.
It would be Amy Hennig's game is probably going, I mean, there's a good chance that it will be my favorite game of 2025 or 2024, whenever it comes out. But yeah. Like what they showed of that was like, basically Blessing was just like saying, hey, Christian, you're going to like this game. And I'm like, Blessing, you're right. I'm going to love that. And they're like, no, I'm going to show you just a little snippet of tone. And I'm like, I already like it. And he's like, no, I'm going to show you a little, I'm going to show you some character silhouettes. Blessing, I already like this game. And he's like, hold on, check this out. Okay, I like that game. But because there wasn't, you know, I didn't get to see, maybe it's not third person, maybe it's an RTS. I don't know. It's probably not. But because I didn't get to see that aspect of it, seeing right. What I did get to see of Illusion Island, which is this co-op, or you can play co-op 2D platformer with that current, what's the cartoon called? Mickey Mouse and Friends, but that current really hip, cool Mickey Mouse style animation. Yeah. It looked awesome. I was blown away by how cool it looked. And it looked like it had that nice mix of, what did Nintendo call it? Competitive or something, you know, with Mario and they're all bouncing around on each other.
Right.
It looked really, really good.
It definitely reminded me of those old Rayman games. We just talked about Rayman, you know,
going
to Sparks of Hope. But it reminded me of those Rayman games, very stylized, looked fast and wacky. It didn't really remind me of, you know, a Mario game per se. It kind of felt like it had much more of that zany is the wrong word, but that Rayman kind of that the art style is so striking. That it doesn't feel, it feels a little edgier, you know, than a Mario, I think.
Yes, it definitely is that style. I mean, that current Mickey Mouse, and I know I could look it up because I'm literally sitting at a computer, but that current Mickey Mouse cartoon style animation, man, it looks good. It leans into it in a really cool way. Switch exclusive, I find interesting. Like some of the other things seemed like they were multi-platform. And I'm curious why this, I mean, it clearly fits well on the Switch, I think, but I'm curious why it's nowhere else right now. But that was the one, too, that going into this thing that I hadn't, and I guess there were others, Tron Identity, I hadn't really heard or known about. But this took me totally, you know, by surprise and looks to bring everything that I love in video games to the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It was definitely a surprise. Illusion Island, a 2023 game coming to Switch. We don't know when in 2023, but very cool that they showed gameplay. And I thought it looked really fun. The game for me that I came away going, I cannot wait to play this, is Marvel Snap. Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I love that we got a release date. It's happening October 15th, I believe. It's actually releasing. It looks, you know, it obviously it's from Ben Brode and some of the folks that, you know, helped make Hearthstone such a hit. They peeled off, started their own studio, and now they're putting out Marvel Snap. So it has a lot of that Hearthstone DNA, and I'm told a lot of the cards work in ways that Hearthstone cards have worked, but it's got this abbreviated sort of faster pace style to it that looks really cool. And I was very surprised how they are, you know, welcoming in different kinds of art styles. Obviously, it's a Marvel property using Marvel IP, but it looked like, you know, there was like 8-bit versions of character. They said 8-bit. It's really 16-bit. I hate to be a stickler there, but these kind of wacky art styles where they very stylized versions of the cards and stuff. And it felt like it had a lot of whimsy to it. And it just looks different, the vibrant and fast paced. I just think I'm going to be putting so much time into this game, and it's coming soon. I much sooner than I thought. I mean, a month from now we'll be playing it, and I'm really, really excited about that. And I know I've heard really good things about from folks who are in the beta. So
yeah, folks in our Discord that are in the beta have been saying almost too good things about it. Yeah. Where it's like, oh no, I have kids to raise. I can't download this game.
Yeah. Rich, was there anything from the Disney showcase that struck your fancy?
Well, I would love to bring up a few titles and speak about them, but you know, to be frank, without being, you know, that guy, there's so much going on in that world, especially Marvel and video games, and it's so dense and there's such a volume of it. I tapped out like a few years ago. I realize they're amazing. I know they're hugely popular. Everyone that I talk to in video games and outside plays the games, but I would be disingenuous if I said otherwise. Like, it's just so much, and I'll come back, right? But right now, in the last few years especially, it's been hard for me to keep up. So I'm not the guy on that side, unfortunately.
Fair enough.
I had a parent friend tell me the exact same thing. I think it was probably last week. And I think we were chatting about Ms. Marvel or She-Hulk, the Disney Plus shows. And they said, like, he was just like, I stopped. I couldn't. It's like, I saw the thing that this character was in the thing. And I don't know if I'd seen that thing. And I know that I don't need to see this to have seen this, but my friend's actually working on this. And like, I could see the anxiety in his eyes building up. And I was like, I'm sorry. I thought it looked cool. But there's a lot of, I mean, it's a lot, and it has not slowed down. A lot of it is excellent, but it is a fire hose, Rich. You are not wrong.
That's true. And, you know, one of the things that I read about, somebody else made the observation about the entire D23 event as a whole, not just the games side of it, but even all of the media announcements that they made, is that, and this resonated with me, is that Disney has ceased to be a company that makes new things that you'll love and has embraced being a company that makes things that remind you of things you already love. And I don't know if that's a good thing. You know, I look at all of these announcements and there's a lot of them I think I'm going to have a blast with, and I'm really excited about it. But there isn't a video game on here that isn't using something that I already love, right? And maybe that's the job of Disney. Disney owns everything. So give me the Midnight Suns game. Give me this Amy Hennig game where both of those are examples of taking IP and doing really interesting, different things with them. You know, Midnight Suns, very different way of making a Marvel game. You know, it's this kind of weird, occulty version of the characters. The Untitled Amy Hennig game looks like a really interesting exploration of a time period that we don't usually see with characters that we don't usually see. And I have very high hopes that that game will be a little more daring and interesting in its own right. So I don't want to take away from that. And I like the idea of like, hey, do you like The Sims? Well, how about The Sims with all the Disney characters? Do you like Mario Kart? Well, you'll probably like Mario Kart with all the Disney characters. You know, it's like, you love the Disney characters. Let's put them in games that you're going to like. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. However, Disney used to be the kind of place where it's like, hey, we're making Dark Crystal. We're making the Black Cauldron. We're making a new thing that is about something you've never seen before.
Well, on the media side of things, I think they have been doing that. I think the news sites, those aren't the titles that get the big, you know, buzz on like the fandom sites and stuff like that. But this is a past one. But Turning Red is excellent. And I would have loved a what was that old DS tapping rhythm game? Golly. Oh,
yeah, Elite Beat Agents?
Yes, I would love like a Turning Red Elite Beat Agent, I don't know, or something. Or like there'd be such wonderful games that could exist within that franchise. And
right.
Watching some of the other D23 stuff that was announced, was it today or yesterday? I don't remember. But I think Pixar is continuing to make some cool things. And Disney Animation Studios had some cool new things. And like, yes, there's the live action version of the animated version that was a live. And it's like, oh, and it feels reductive. And those things get the headlines. I don't know why I'm defending like the studio, the biggest studio in the world.
Yeah.
But I do think there is still that stuff there. It's just harder to see through all of this. But I will agree, Jeff, that these games aren't those. I mean, I think Tron Identity is maybe the one of like that is Disney still trying to do something new. Like Disney will not let Tron die.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you that question then. What do you hope Tron Identity is? Because we've obviously seen lots of different Tron video games in the past, and they are all very disparate, right? What do you want Tron Identity to be? A big, you know, third person open world where you get to do all the Tron things, or would you rather see it more focused?
It's the Thomas Was Alone dev, right? What's his name?
Is it?
I love. So.
I didn't game. See that.
Thomas Was Alone is an amazing game.
Tron. What's the name of the Tron game? I'm gonna look this up because I don't want to get this wrong out of my butt.
Mike Bithell. Yeah, you're right.
Mike Bithell. Yes. So he's doing the Tron game, which that has me. Did he also do John Wick Hex? Who is that?
That was him as well.
Yeah,
and he did the Solitaire that Conspiracy. Okay, this is another function of me being stuck in a hospital for the last 4 days.
That presentation did not slow down to highlight that.
No, but it has been revealed that Tron Identity will be a visual novel / puzzle game.
I love the sound of that.
Yeah. Narrative puzzle game is what chat is saying too. And thank you, chat. Everybody yelled at me. I didn't need to search it. You were all telling me.
I'm glad
we've
been corrected because, again.
Because I think Thomas Was Alone was incredible. I think I talked about it on this show a bunch. I thought John Wick Hex was great. And it was such a different take on John Wick. Like I love Midnight Express. You talked about last week or 2 weeks ago. And I like that kind of version of it too. But I loved what they did with John Wick Hex and like, no, we're still going to make you feel like John Wick, but it's this, you know, slower style approach, planning your move style game. So I think if anyone can do a Tron game, that's cool.
Yeah. I immediately got way more excited. So here's the description of via Polygon. Players will follow Query, a detective program keeping the peace on an all new grid. Query has been tasked with unraveling a complicated break-in and theft, and you'll interact with a number of intriguing characters and decide whether to ally with them, spurn them, or even derez them.
Players
will advance the story by defragmenting other programs' identity disks. That's rad. Wow. I'm in. Oh, this sounds really cool. There you go.
So there's stuff. So Disney still, you know, and I think like Illusion. Go ahead.
I'd like to change my answer.
Yeah. Super slick. Anyway, well, there you go. I think lots of really cool stuff announced last week. And
Jeff, two Avatar and multi. Yeah. There's the Ubisoft Avatar, which I guess is Frontiers of Pandora, and then Reckoning looked like a Call of Duty mobile to me. It seemed kind of weird.
Not excited about Reckoning personally, but I do hope that Frontiers of Pandora is awesome because I want it to be awesome. Lots of really cool stuff. And evidently the Avatar 2 Way of Water footage that was shown like blew people's minds at D23. So, you know.
Well, I heard this because James Cameron actually made them watch it holding their breath underwater. I think you had to get
That's my understanding is that's the only way all theaters across America will be converted into water tanks. That's my understanding.
The first Avatar was 3D. This is wet D.
Yeah, under D water is what it is.
So stupid. under the sea. I'm trying to put a hat on your hat. Yeah.
Anywho, there you go. I'm loopy.
We're having fun.
I haven't had any fun the last few days. Let's move on and talk about the games that we have been playing in a segment we call the playlist. Ooh, what you playing this week? Tell us. Ooh, what you playing this week? Tell us on the playlist. Rich, as our official unofficial sports correspondent, I hope and trust you have come equipped to talk about at least one sports game.
Absolutely.
Is that the case? Yes.
That is the case.
Awesome.
I've come equipped to talk about a couple of them, actually, if you want. So me and my big mouth, I've been telling my friends, you know what, NBA 2K23, it's going to be great, but it's not basketball season. It's football just started. It's baseball playoffs. I'm not in a basketball headspace. I'm going to wait and pick it up, you know, in October, November. And then through an incredibly wonderful happenstance, I was able to get a code for the game from a friend in the games industry. And I'm glad I did, because it's great. I love it. I was going to buy it anyway. So, you know, but I, just to be, again, transparent, I did get a code for it. But the reason that I think it's so great is because it has what I think is the best mode in any sports game ever.
Wow.
Remastered. So for my money, and I think for a lot of people's money, the original Jordan Challenge kind of changed sports video games in terms of what could be delivered and expected. And the following year, there was a mode with all of the NBA's greatest teams. So that 1-2 punch of NBA 2K a bunch of years back really separated them from everybody else in the space. And the Jordan Challenge remastered in the glorious new world of 4K, and I'm not the tech guy, but, you know, just when you've got an Xbox Series X or a PlayStation 5 and you can play it, I'm playing it on the PS5. It's just amazing. The Jordan Challenge is incredibly, at the same time, accessible, educational, fun, and challenging. And if you like sports, and or you like basketball, obviously, if you like sports, you like basketball, or vice versa, it's just a unique way for anybody to have a whole lot of fun. And that's one small slice of NBA 2K23, but it's the slice that I've been playing because it's so good. So this
allows you to play as the greatest of all time, right? The great players of all time. Is that right?
It allows you to, you play 15 different scenarios. Most of the scenarios are a full game. Sometimes it's the second half. Occasionally it's a brief moment in time, all from the very beginning of Michael Jordan's career, starting in North Carolina, all the way through his journey, up and coming, getting beaten up by the Bad Boy Pistons, and then overcoming, Team USA stuff. Every wow. One of the 15 scenarios is introduced by a video of somebody who had a direct relationship to the event that comes up.
Wow.
Which does a great job of explaining even more why this is important. And then every one of the segments is extraordinary. And I don't say that lightly. For example, and this is, I guess, spoilery for those who don't know, but the very first challenge, you are playing as Michael Jordan in the NCAA championship game against Georgetown in 1982. So you're going up against Patrick Ewing, and you're going up against Sleepy Floyd, and you've got Michael Jordan, but also on your team, you've got James Worthy. It's incredible.
This is the first time they have college, right? I don't think these moments are in that first one. I think North Carolina is new, but I could be wrong.
If I was good at being a sports video game reporter, I would know the answer, but I'm just only adequate. But all kidding aside, it's just an extraordinary moment, not only because of who the teams are and who the players are on the teams, but the presentation, whether you go with the default 80s style presentation, which is fun, or then you turn it on in glorious high definition 4K, which is where I went pretty quickly because it's right. But it's got the right sign. You know, when we used to watch the NCAA tournament, the sign on the side, you know, that listed the name of where it was. It's got that. It's got John Thompson coaching Georgetown, right? Like, it's got an appreciation for what's happening, and it's an education. And it is really hard to stop Patrick Ewing in 1982. So the situation is fantastic, but then there's layers to it, right? Like, the challenge – you have multiple challenges that you can accomplish in a single event. All you have to do to unlock the next event is just complete the scenario. You don't even have to score the 40 points or win the game. So you can work hard to get all of the challenge points for each level, but it's not stopping you from enjoying the whole thing just by experiencing one. You don't have to accomplish anything other than play. You could lose by 40 points. Not that that's happened. And not do well at all. And still you'll unlock the next scenario, but you can come back to the one before. And you can set it to all kinds of user difficulty settings as well. It's just extraordinary. And it was extraordinary when it first came out, and what they've done to it really ups the ante. And I could gush about the Team USA scenario, or I could gush about the scenario where you're playing against Magic Johnson in the 1991 finals and the Lakers, or I could gush about any number of those things. It's just something that I think if you like sports at all, it's something that I think would be really fun for you to play.
That's awesome.
I wish that this was a standalone thing. Maybe it will be, because I'm sure it was expensive to get, and it was expensive to get the first time, and now this, you know, even better version of it. NBA 2K23, I think it's 160 gig. Like, it is a behemoth of a game. There's, you know,
I deleted most of my library to get the game onto my PlayStation.
It's it's massive, and there's so much, and it has some stuff that I think it does better than any other game out there, especially sports genre. And there's some stuff that I'm like, this doesn't feel good. But it's hard for me to talk about the game as a package, because those things, these Jordan moments especially, these things that they do so good, I don't know if any team does them better. I think the only thing that maybe is missing from it would be, like, if you did lose by 40, if it just shows you that footage of Jordan laughing at the iPad and handing it, you know, back.
There you go. That would be great. And there's another segment of this game. It really is, like you said, Chris, it's segments. There are multiple segments, and I'm sure I've played every NBA 2K ever, just like I played every MLB The Show ever, just like I've even played every Madden ever, just because that's how old I am.
Just 23 of them.
Yeah. But another segment where you can play franchise mode, not only can you play a franchise mode starting this year, but you have multiple historic franchise modes available. So you can go back and you can pick any team at the start of the Bird Magic era, and you can play it forward, and you can have fantasy drafts, or you can have the real players come in, or you could move teams around, or you could stop them from moving, and all of the incredible level of depth that is in those modes. There's an era where you start at the Jordan era and where you start at the Kobe era. And just for fun, I started a Kobe era team with my no longer New Jersey Nets because they moved to Brooklyn. And I started it only because two things. Number one, I wanted to take a run with that Nets team that won a couple of Eastern Conference titles in a row at, you know, a video game run, right? At the Lakers and Spurs teams that beat them so badly. But I also want to keep them in New Jersey because I'm a New Jersey guy. I got one team left, the New Jersey Devils. They're the only one that represent the state, right? So I'm going to keep the New Jersey Nets in New Jersey. The fact that I can do that, like, just for me, to me, that means a lot that NBA 2K23 lets me do that.
That's rad. I love the fact that these, you know, we were talking about the Assassin's Creed franchise so much in the first segment, and how it has really embraced being a trip back in time and looking at history, and kind of, there are even those modes in some of the late Assassin's Creed games where it strips away all the game elements, all of the action elements, and you can just wander around these lovingly recreated scenarios from history. And I love how that's kind of what's happening here as well. Video games are allowing us to live out the fantasy that we've always wanted, to step back in time and kind of learn about these things and really feel what it must have been like to be there. And I just think it's amazing to do that in the context of sports as well.
And not to get all inside baseball, no pun intended, but another extraordinary aspect of this is the licensing. I do a lot of licensing work and partnership work, and the amount of licensing that took place to get all of these players and coaches and arenas and rights.
Yeah.
Just the fact that they pull that off to me is a business miracle. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, they really went all out. Now, not every player is there, because not every player, I guess, wanted to sign up, but I almost, it, they are able to curate the experience around that really well, as much as well as they can. And I just, you know, as a guy who's developed sports video games, I appreciate what they are delivering. And I'm just having a blast with it.
Yeah. So it's a bummer if they're in a meeting and they're like, we can't get Christian Laettner to sign on. I guess we can't do the Team USA sequence that we wanted.
Right. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the game. And I'm, again, there's a lot of other aspects to it. There's a whole, you know, my park, which is literally a whole other universe that I don't, that's not mine. I don't go over there. That's other people who go over there and do their thing. So I stick, but I mean, there's so much to do. Like, I don't need to go over there because I got so much going on right here. I'm good. Like, I don't need to go anywhere. There's more than I can ever do. And again, I love, another reason I'm going gushing about the Jordan Jazz, but another reason I love it is that a thing I can see and I can accomplish it. I can do 15 challenges over the course of a few weeks because I know it's 15. Mm-hmm. That's a reachable goal. That's not an 82 game season and playoffs or something like that. It's another thing that I think as a fan, people will get a huge kick out of it.
Well, that's NBA 2K23. It sounds like Rich is a big, big fan. Definitely. It makes me want to check it out. But this isn't specifically on your playlist, but I suspect you'll be able to tell me that I'm hearing, you know, I don't have my finger on the pulse of this franchise, but I'm hearing, on the other hand, this year's Madden offering pretty disappointing to folks. Am I correct in that sense?
I can tell you that I'm not disappointed in it.
Oh, that's good. Now,
I'm also very similar to NBA 2K23. I have my happy little rut that I'm in, and I don't want to get out of it. I'm in a franchise, but it's an online franchise. So I am in this century, right? I'm not 20th century. It is 21st century. I'm franchised, but it's online with 31 other people. And we've been doing this in Madden for a long, long, long time. Now, I will also say, Jeff, that I am acutely terrible at Madden. So it has gotten much more complicated for me to succeed at the levels I used to be able to succeed. The only thing I think even keeping me going is the online league, because it's a league that we've had, online franchise that we've had for 15, 20 years. Again, I'm just so old, it's crazy. But I don't have any issues with Madden, and I'm not saying it to be diplomatic. I'm saying it because it's true, because this is what I tell my friends. Like, I've played probably four different franchise one seasoners. You know, one thing I don't like to do is manage salary caps and restructure contracts to, you know, make my dead money go away. Like, it gives me anxiety just talking about this. So I'm going to stop. So I start a new season, you know, once I finish my one season, I start a new one, and I play it on All Pro, which is the level that our league is on. And I'm not good at all. I throw lots of interceptions, and I lose a lot more than I don't. And then after losing a few games in a row, I put it down to Pro, and then I win again, and I feel better about myself, and I feel better about the game. So, but no, I'm by no means, you know, in the Madden Ultimate Team world. That's a whole other universe that I don't hang around in, but I like it and I play it, right? If I didn't like it, I wouldn't play it.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you that it's the greatest thing of all time. But I mean, if you're playing it like me, if you want to play a season or two offline, I mean, first of all, I played the first 10 hours of it, not for free, but mostly for free because I have EA Play.
Right.
So you don't, if you've got, you know, Game Pass, and I think it's also on PlayStation Plus, one of the two or all three of the tiers, you can play it for 10 hours.
Right.
So you don't even need to listen to me. Like, you got plenty of time to decide whether you're going to like it. I actually played my first franchise, I played entirely through that 10-hour trial. Because when I'm playing offline, I play offense only because it's just easier. And that's a cool little option they give you. You can say at the start of the game, I just want to play offense only. Because to me, playing defense against a computer is either boring or infuriating, and neither of those are good. So I skip that. And it makes the games go by nice and quick. I played a whole year, and it was fun. So, you know, it's there for 10 hours, but I like it. Like, I'm not going to gush over it because it's a football game that if you know how to run the ball, you should be able to run the ball and pass the ball. And it looks really good. I'll tell you that too. It really does look really good. I mean, I'm not one of those people. We've had, you know, Kat Bailey, friend of the show. Kat and I have many podcasts where we argue about the quality of this game and many others. And I know she's had a hard time with it for years. And I'm sort of on the opposite. I'm a Madden fan. I am. And that's why I play it every year. And that's why I keep doing my online league.
I've just been seeing a number of you know, the TikTok videos of people throwing their controllers at weird glitches, and, you know, like the ball gets tipped 14 times somehow. And
but you got to understand, Rich, I mean, as a New Jersey guy, you grew up watching a lot of, you know, pretty good Giants teams, but also a lot of Jets teams. So, there are games with 14 tips, Jeff. Mm-hmm. You were just grew up a Niners fan. So you were like, oh, this is the quality of play I expect. But when you went to a bunch of games, the debut league of the year of the Texans, and the league told him to quit piping in crowd noise because it was so clearly fake, then like what you see in Madden makes sense. It's like, this is how football is played. So I think it's a you problem, Jeff, not the game.
I mean, and thank you for bringing up the 49ers on opening day 2022 with a loss in the rain to Chicago that I really didn't need. Let's be honest. I was already in a pretty depressed place. And
When does Denver play?
They play tomorrow. They play on Monday.
There you go.
Yeah.
Change teams. Easy. Yeah. Easy to do.
Hey, if they crush Seattle, I will be the happiest boy. Believe me. Believe me. Rooting for Russell Wilson for the first time in my life. All right. So those are a couple of sports games. Appreciate the insight and expertise. Rich, anything else on your playlist you want to mention?
Yeah, I rolled credits on As Dusk Falls a few days ago, and I am 100% a sucker for a game like this, right? Like for the Telltale style, make a choice, the choice has impact, and then other things happen. It goes back to when I was a kid, loving Choose Your Own Adventure. Like, you give me a game like this, chances are I'm going to like it. And even for franchises that I have little to no other affinity for, like the most Borderlands I ever played was a Telltale Borderlands game, which I loved. It was fantastic. Minecraft Story Mode, both of those games, love those games. And so many of the Telltale games, obviously Walking Dead. But anyway, As Dusk Falls is not exactly like those games, but it's a lot more like them than not. And once you sort of get past the art implementation, I don't even want to call it a style, I want to call it an implementation. Once you're able to understand that and then either sort of just go with it or ignore it, however you want to put it, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Again, I'm a sucker for these kind of things. I'm not saying it's the greatest game I've ever played. There was definitely some things that happened. I was like, oh, I kind of wish that didn't happen. But I really enjoyed it. What was funny is I thought it was, and this isn't a spoiler, I'm hoping it's not a spoiler, it's a spoiler of the structure. I thought there was a X number of books that made up the story, and then when it ended, I didn't realize, oh no, that's it, you're done. I was not prepared for the ending. And when I say I wasn't prepared for the ending, like, I don't mean that like I was like, oh my God, I'm not prepared for that. I was like, oh.
It was abrupt.
Oh, I had to, right? And but, take a step back and sort of process what happened and what didn't happen. But I really enjoyed it. I played it on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And again, I love these kind of games. If there were mostly just these kind of games, I would probably play mostly these games. It's just, I haven't always been that way, but really I think back to, well, Detroit Become Human is probably the best for me, like my best time playing one of these kind of games. But all of the Heavy Rain was really, and, you know, obviously, you know, you guys know Heavy Rain with all its everything.
I loved Heavy Rain.
I know, that's what I mean, right? Yeah. You know, I hear you shouting, you know, the name of the lost boy right now, you know, like we used to do back on the show, right? So, I got a kick out of As Dusk Falls, enjoyed it thoroughly.
I feel like, Rich, your dream game is the 94 Bulls Telltale game. You know, it's like, who inbounds the ball? And you have to pick, like, do you let Cartwright take a free throw? You know, or you just have him have his ankle be injured and he's not allowed to shoot free throws anymore. You know, do you give Scottie Pippen the money he deserves? You know, these are all telltale style choices you have would to be make along the way.
Jason Kidd.
in a lot of ways, it's really just, you know, taking what we do with out of the park baseball and just boiling it all down to the most basic things and just leading people right along with that.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Yes.
Love it. And you're also playing an old game, right?
Yes. And my son, who I have one son, he would not let me get away with doing the show without mentioning the fact that we played Team Fortress 2. He loves Team Fortress 2. And when you have a teenage son who says, "Hey, Dad, you want to play Team Fortress 2 with me?" You say, "Yes, I do." And you do. And this is not the kind of game that I ever really, I mean, I played Quake back in the day, but again, this is, I play a lot of types of a lot of games, but not a lot of games like Team Fortress 2, but we play it all the time. And it's, you know, it's so interesting to see him get into something that's not new, but to him, it's new and he's really into it and has been for a year. And first what brings him in is the game and the art style and just, you know, the chaos, but then he starts to explore the market and because he's just that age before he doesn't have to have a job and start saving for things, he's, what small money he gets is discretionary. And then for his birthday and Christmas, he's like, "Oh, you know, people can just get me Steam bucks." So he gets these piles of Steam cards because what else do you get for, you know, you're lucky if a teenager tells you what they want, right? And you're like, "All right, fine," for Christmas. So it's fun to watch him be all into that. And it's fun to play. It's what is it, 10, 11 years old? I don't even know. It's been around for a long time, but it's
more than that.
Up and running and fun and chaotic and not, I mean, I am the worst player in every match, but I still have fun. So I guess that means something too, right? Like, you know, and so my son mains a medic, by the way. He used to main an engineer, but he mains a medic. I had to be sure to let you guys know that as well. So I needed to give the shout out to the Valve guys and Team Fortress 2 and that whole universe that continues to be huge and bumping along today.
Crazy. It's still going strong. 15 years ago, October 10th will be the 15th anniversary of the release of Team Fortress 2. So in Assassin's Creed franchise isn't the only one celebrating its 15th anniversary this year. Team Fortress 2, 2007, October 10th, 2007, it was released. Pretty wild. Pretty wild. Still going strong. Christian Spicer, what are you playing this week?
I can talk about the full release of Splatoon 3. I talked about the Splatfest, the pre-release Splatfest they did a couple weeks ago, whenever that was. But the full game is out. We can talk about Splatoon 3. It will not convert people who played 1 and 2 and didn't love it. It is definitely more Splatoon, but it is the best Splatoon that I've played. You know, I haven't spent infinite time with Splatoon 3 yet. You know, I certainly spent a lot more with 2 over the year and the expansion single player pack and stuff like that. But coming out of the gate, Splatoon 3 feels like such a complete package and kind of in the way that Nintendo often has iterated on things as these franchises evolve. And one thing that I love that they've kept with Splatoon in this franchise is it feels, you know, that connection to a Dreamcast era game still, right? I know it wasn't, but like that Jet Set, Jet Grind Radio aesthetic, it's like hip and bright and colorful and weird and all these things that if you look at kind of Nintendo's library game catalog, I don't think they have any other games like it. You know, the energy that it's putting out, kind of this youth attitude that's still friendly but also aggressive, you know, the way the Squid Kids are kind of in your face and underground DJs and great music. It is such a complete experience. The single player that I have not finished, but again, is another example kind of like Kirby this year of just Nintendo designers, in my opinion, just flexing their creativity. And, you know, there certainly isn't some strong narrative that's pulling me through. There is a story on top of it. But each time you get into a new level and you see, calling it a gimmick feels reductive, but you know, you see the idea or the ideas that have built upon each other to get you to that point on on a level. And as you complete it and you put all these loadouts together and kind of traverse and platform and shoot or splat your way through it, there's nothing like a well-designed Nintendo level, in my opinion, in terms of just pure gameplay joy. And from what I've played of the Splatoon 3 single player, it has that firing on all cylinders. And then it's things that I understand the other side of the coin. The critics are like, it should have had this from Go. I don't disagree. I'm not forgiving 1 and 2 for not having them. But the way that 3 now has Salmon Run, which is kind of their horde mode, is available at all times. Before it was only available during select weekends or whatever it was. And at the time that could feel, air quote, fun, because you always knew you had a healthy player base because people would rally there and play it. But it stunk if that was your favorite mode and you couldn't play it, you know, 5/6 of the time that you had the game. So having that always available is great. You can actually play with your friends, which again is a very Nintendo thing that you couldn't before. But you'd be like, you want to play Splatoon? Sure. And then you'd be on different teams. And it's just like, well, this isn't quite what I had in mind, daughter, but prepare to get your butt kicked because I'm not holding back. You can now party up and play with friends and have that experience. It feels weird. I think I talked about this when I talked about it on after playing the pre-release Splatfest, when we could talk about that. It feels weird that this is a full release, a $60 release in an era where a lot of shooters aren't anymore, that they are free to play games and iterative and, you know, Splatoon would be a weekend in Fortnite or what have you. But there is something very satisfying in Splatoon's progression. You know, it almost feels old school in a way of, okay, I start with this basic blaster and then I'm going to get currency by playing. And the matchmaking's pretty good. There are definitely times where, you know, you get walloped by the other side, but so far it's been pretty good. And then you get to kind of pick which type of player you want to be, you know, roller, brush, bucket, and like each one has better versions of those weapons. And you kind of get to experiment with not an ever evolving meta the way some shooters are, but certainly a changing style of play as people try out the new weapons. And then as your rank, you can kind of see people gravitating to certain types of weapons and abilities. And like you talked about for Marvel Snap, you know, how short those games are. A round of Splatoon 3 multiplayer is 3 minutes. And so it's such a refreshing game to be able to play, and it's perfect on Switch where I can play it on the TV and we can all sit down together. Or it's, you know, I literally have 10 minutes till I need to go somewhere. I can grab the Switch, jump into a game, play around and have a nice discreet gaming session and be done with it. It feels really, really good. If you liked 1 or 2 or think you might like 1 or 2, I would recommend 3. The splatting is still very satisfying. The look of the paint on the levels, you know, Nintendo knows how to art design their games to a old underpowered system and have it still look impressive. It is fun and vibrant in a game that I think kids can really get behind also. It's just a joy. I don't know, Jeff, if it'll do enough to kind of bring you, make you interested in it before, like you were, I think, around the first game or not.
But yeah,
they finally did it. You know, they put it all together.
Well, that sounds great. Yeah, it's not a franchise that I have a lot of affinity for, but who knows? My 5-year-old at this point, or 6-year-old, he turned 6 this last week. You know, he could definitely get his love of all things Nintendo at this point. Who knows? Literally tonight, I was putting him to bed. I get home from the hospital, just had time to put him to bed before we started recording. And, he goes, "Daddy, have you played Super Smash Brothers?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Do you think I could play that?" And I was like, "Well, I don't own it." So no, but, and then he goes, "Daddy, what are the coolest video games that I've never played?"
Oh boy.
Yeah. And I said, "Well, son, there's quite a list."
Did you give him the DLC URL?
You're going to want to check out this podcast.
You know, it's actually it's a podcast because your paw hosts.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. Were you going to say, Rich?
Yeah. My son, when he was little, when he first started playing video games, it was very heavy Nintendo. which I think was a really good thing because it, I think it gave him a baseline sort of understanding of what some great different types of games are. And he's very narrow. Like he only likes a few games. Like, he's not one of those kids who plays a whole bunch of games. He's very like his tastes are discerning. And I think that starting young with really great Nintendo games probably has quite something to do with that.
Yeah. My son has become just this encyclopedia of Mario, and he knows, I mean, he watches Mario Odyssey and Bowser's Fury YouTube videos and like studies everything and does it. And he'll at this point, literally, I had an hour where I got to go home and my wife was at the hospital with my daughter. And I was like, I want to spend some quality time with you. What do you want to do? Anything you want to do? He said, Daddy, will you play Bowser's Fury or Mario Odyssey with me? And I said, okay. And, you know, side note, I think those two player modes in those games are terrible, utterly terrible. I understand why Nintendo puts them in the game, but they're not. The person who's not Mario is not having fun.
Not having any fun.
And the camera is, it's just ridiculous. It's awful. Anyway, but I'm there with him. I'm having fun. But what he does now, and he learned it by these YouTube videos he's watched. He goes, Daddy, I'm going to beat Bowser's Fury, but I'm not going to touch anything white. I'm not going to allow myself to touch anything white in the world or blue, you know, or whatever. Like anything that's colored a specific color, I can't touch it and I'll still beat the game. Like he's setting up these weird challenges for himself because he sees these YouTubers do it. And it's wild. Anyway, total tangent, but that's fun. Christian, what else is on your playlist?
Two I'll just touch on because I haven't given them quite enough time, but I do want to highlight them. And one especially, it's great. This is a Backbone episode because I've been playing a lot of it with my Backbone, and it's Horizon Chase 2, which was kind of a surprise launch or announcement and then launch on Apple Arcade. Horizon Chase 1, it's
not
very
where
much
you think
a
the Horizon franchise would be. Very surprising.
Well, you're chasing it, so it's... You know, this chases you to Aloy is eventually where you end up. It's very much reminiscent of, now I've totally blanked because we did a dumb joke riff.
That's my fault.
Come on. Old Sega,
Outrun?
Ferrari.
Outrun.
Thank you. There's my brain. Reminiscent of Outrun and that style of game. And I really enjoyed the first Horizon Chase. Horizon Chase 2 is beautiful. It looks gorgeous on devices. It plays well enough with touch that I've played some that way, but click it in to the Backbone. I've just been devouring the arcade mode where you're kind of progressing through countries or something like that. If you have Apple Arcade or Apple One or some, you know, version of this service, definitely download it and play it. It is in great music. I should have had the composer's name pulled up, but I'm not going to. Fantastic music. Fantastic second version of a game that's kind of giving you more of the same and iterating in really great ways. It is awesome. Horizon Chase 2 available via Apple Arcade. I think it's coming to other stuff later as well, but I think it's a huge get for Apple Arcade. It is a must play, you know, arcade racer style game.
Cool.
Really, really cool. Awesome. And the second one coming from the Xbox of games is Lucky Luna, which is also another mobile game that was, I think, announced before, but then kind of, I don't know, it feels weird to say stealth launch, but it caught me off guard that it came out, and it is on mobile from Netflix. So it's free if you have a Netflix subscription, and you cannot use a controller, which kind of bummed me out at first because I do love, you know, playing with a controller on mobile, but the game is so smartly designed for touch, where it's a motion you're likely already doing anyway, where you move your character via swiping, and that kind of gets their momentum going, and you can control as she falls and moves through the level and move through the world. It's by the same developers who did Alto's Odyssey, which I also really, really enjoyed on mobile. And Lucky Luna, I've put less time into it than I wanted to because Splatoon 3 and then Horizon Chase 2. And I kept putting off playing it because I was like, oh, you can't use a controller. Touch never really works out that well. And then people were like, it can if it's designed for it. So I downloaded it and I gave it a try. It's awesome. It has a very Celeste style pixel art look to it. And because it's a Netflix game, there's no in-app purchases, all that stuff. So again, if you have Netflix already and a mobile device that, you know, supports their games, I would definitely recommend downloading and playing Lucky Luna. I'm certainly going to be playing more of it and probably talk more about it as the weeks go on as well.
Very cool. Good stuff. Last week we had Chris Baker on, and Zen Studios, he was a writer on Circus Electrique, which I was still under embargo about when he was on, so I wasn't able to talk about it in detail. I had wanted to finish that game this week in preparation for talking about it. Man, one of the things I've learned about spending a lot of time at the hospital with my daughter is, you know, I brought my Steam Deck with me every day there, spent the night, had it. It never took it out of my backpack. Never once took it out. I don't get anything done at the hospital. It is awful. So I hate continue coming back to that, but it's like 5 days that were just lost out of my week. So I did not get a chance to finish Circus Electrique, unfortunately, but I will tell you, I am thoroughly enjoying that game. It feels like the game I wanted Darkest Dungeon to be. That's, having said that, I want to edit what I just said. I liked Darkest Dungeon. I got a lot of joy out of Darkest Dungeon initially. I was really enthusiastic about that game, but just as it kept beating me down and being so bleak and so dark, that it just became unfun for me. I lost the fun because it was just, oh my God, another person is hurting themselves in my party. Like I can't, it was too much. So it felt a little bit too rough. And Circus Electrique has all those systems and more. It actually adds systems, you know, this kind of fun circus simulator where you're not even circus simulator, circus manager simulator, where you're you know, putting together acts and setting up shows that happen sort of in the background as you're off adventuring. So those are cool systems that it adds to the mix, but it also does those Darkest Dungeon things pretty darn well. And I think the visuals are really, really lovely, very vibrant and different, and it has such an identity to it. You know, it's this steampunk circus world where the character classes that make up your party, or you know, your role-playing game party, are like mimes and strongmen and fire breathers. It's clever and it's different. It feels so different than anything else, and that's part of the charm. I mean, even though it is very much in the style of Darkest Dungeon, it still has such an identity to it. I think the writing is strong. You know, Chris is a friend and he was on, and we really like it, Chris. But I say that without any, you know, without any bias. I really thought the writing is strong and fun, and it embraces that steampunk aesthetic really well with kind of fun banter. I'm just having a blast with it. It really is a different, unique, wonderful experience that just doesn't feel like the countless other, you know, sci-fi things or Tolkien-esque fantasy things. It really carves out its own wonderful identity and has some awesome turn-based strategy fighting. It's just great. It's a really cool package. Lots of stuff, lots of really cool systems that interact well with each other, a great tutorial system that leads you through it. It's great, man. It's Circus Electrique, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Also, phenomenal and super ultra wide. It just looks stunning and super ultra wide. And you have all this real estate to play with that it sort of lays out all the information really well. Great, great game. So that was what was on my playlist, such as it was.
Congratulations to C-Bank. He's a good friend of mine. Well done, sir.
He's so great. You know, yes. And the writing in the game is top notch. And I think the voice acting is great too. Really, they got great people. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of DLC. We do have parting gifts coming up, so stick around for those. But Rich Grisham, it's just wonderful having you back on the show. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. I love the show. I love what you guys do. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me. Anytime you want.
Thanks. We appreciate you. Tell folks where they can keep up with you and the things that you make in the world.
So I would love for people to check out some cool new stuff that's just come out. We at Come To Us have just released The Walking Dead All-Stars on mobile RPG. If you're a fan of that IP, our friends at Skybound, we work with them to deliver it. It just came out. People are excited about it. And we all are too, very much. Out of the Park Baseball 23. It is actually, it's on PC, is actually on sale for 50% off until Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, in case anybody is interested in jumping into the incredibly amazing 2022 baseball season and playing it from any day of the entire season or any season in history, because we have all of that. Out of the Park Baseball 23, and there's a mobile app called Out of the Park Go that is free on iOS and Android. Check that out. There's 100 other things that I could mention. I guess thank you for the opportunity. I also want to mention Summoner's War franchise and Summoner's War Sky Arena, which is an amazing franchise that Come To Us delivers to the world. It's something that I've come to work with in the last couple of years since I've been working with Come To Us, and it's an incredible, immense, passionate community, and we do all sorts of great events, including New York City Comic Con in October around that. So yeah, those are just a small, tiny bit of the stuff that I'm working on, but it's amazing. I love it. I love working for Come To Us, and I love working with, you know, Major League Baseball and the NBA and all the players' associations. All the cool stuff that I get to do with this is great. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Christian Spicer, what about you? What do you got going on this week?
I am occasionally on Twitter. If you want to poke over there, you know, seldomly I'll fly by with a few things there. It's at Spicer. And then I write a newsletter about video games, longer form, casual conversation stuff about video games that you can subscribe to for free at tinyletter.com/Christian Spicer. There's an archive that you can click on there too that has most of the old ones if you kind of want to read them and get a feel for them. Sometimes the formatting is a little weird on the archives, but whatever. The most recent one was about adaptations, as we are living in the world of, you know, good video game adaptations and just adaptations happening nonstop. So you can read about that at tinyletter.com/Christian Spicer. And then hopefully some other stuff that I'll get to talk about sooner than later, Jeff.
Yeah, very excited about hearing that stuff. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Cannata, which is spelled with two N's and one T, but not where you think. Little She-Hulk reference. Somebody wanted me to do that on the show, so I did it. I have other shows for you to check out, including the Filmcast, which is a movie and TV show review program. We are doing the comeuppance, our comeuppance this next week. Should be
I'm so excited. You guys, I won't say it. You guys were jerks.
Oh, yeah. No, we were terrible.
You're all lovely humans, but my gosh. This summer could not have been better.
Could not have been more wrong. Could not, as right as I am on this show constantly, just invariably right. That show, we could not have been more wrong. In fact, I believe I even said I would eat my hat if something happened. And that thing, it happened. I don't know how that's going to work out for me. Searching online for edible hats.
get some underwear, call it a hat, you know.
You might want to put on your safe search, just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so check that out. It's bound to be a lively one this week. Also, I do a comedy science show where you can learn something and laugh along the way. It's called We Have Concerns. You can find it at wehaveconcerns.com. And I do a sports show. Speaking of sports, I do a sports show. Wildly unqualified for that, but you know, here I am. It's called Fan Controlled Show. We do it at twitch.tv/FCF, but it's also available as a podcast. You can hear all the past episodes. It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, all over the place. Fan Controlled Show. Good times. It's fun. All right. That's going to do it. We got to wrap things up with our parting gifts.
Suggestion of what to do this week. Give us a parting gift.
Rich, do you have a suggestion to help people get through their week?
I do. If you liked the HBO show Winning Time, you will love the book Showtime. The first season of Winning Time was based on like the first chapter of Showtime. So if you enjoyed that, this book is great. It's written by Jeff Perlman. Now, actually, Jeff Perlman wrote a mean book about my all-time favorite baseball team, the 1986 New York Mets. So I'm still mad at him about that, but I can't deny that this book isn't fantastic. It's just great. It just covers the entire Magic Johnson, Pat Riley era. The thing I like best about it is it's a lot of quotes, right? It's not it's not all quotes. There's plenty of description and stuff, but there's a lot of people on the record talking about things. And so that to me, really, really brought it to life. So I love the book. Well, I loved the show, even though I knew the show took some liberties, shall we say, with things like timelines and personalities. So the show drove me to the book and I love the book. I devoured it over the course of like 3 or 4 days. And I don't typically read a book in 3 or 4 days. 6 months is usually how long it takes me to read something. So big fan of Showtime by Jeff Perlman.
All right. That is Showtime by Jeff Perlman. Christian Spicer, what is your parting gift?
Yeah, this is a flag for later. But as mentioned earlier on the show, I was in Canada. And I get it now. I know why Atlanta's the best. It was so nice, Jeff. I'd never been. What a treat of a country. I only saw like a small piece of it, but I have to imagine it was all like that. The whole of it is like that. But I was up in Canada for a whirlwind 30 something hours too. I was honored to be able to go see the premiere of The Inspection, which is it opened the Toronto International Film Festival. And I know, Jeff, you want to go in unsullied, so I won't talk about the movie in any way, shape, or form in terms of specifics of its plot.
Thank you.
But it is a story that I think is long overdue to be told, and it's told in a personal way, and it is beautiful. And at times difficult to watch. I think it comes out November 18th is when it goes wide. It's an A24 film. And The Inspection, put it on your radar. Keep an eye out for it. When you can see it, go see it. And Jeremy Pope, who is the star in it, who is already a star on Broadway, this human being, I had the pleasure of meeting him and chatting with him for just the tiniest bit in the grand scheme of things. But dynamic and captivating in person and on screen, just chews up the screen. This individual is a star, and Gabrielle Union plays a supporting role in it. And it's just incredible, just absolutely incredible. And somehow the Q&A after the film was as powerful as the film itself, and hearing Gabrielle talk about her life and her experiences. And It's a special film. It's a special film, The Inspection. It's coming out, I think, November 18th. It's going wide. And that's cool. Keep your eye out for it. Keep your eye out for it.
Awesome. The Inspection. My parting gift, I'm sure I know for sure Christian will echo my sentiments here. This is the new album that has just dropped by The Midnight, our favorite band. I will say, definitely my favorite band. I know it's one of your favorite bands, Christian. They're not exactly pop punk, but you know, one of your favorite bands.
I mean, they dabble in that. They don't shy away from pop punk riffs. It's so good. And Tyler are so good. The album's so good.
The Midnight, we love them here. You've heard us talk about them for years now. Seriously, in my top three bands of all time, I love The Midnight. Every album seems to one up the last, and they just dropped a new album. It is called Heroes, part of a triptych of the last three albums that they've done. And it's incredible. The level of output that these two dudes, it's amazing. I will tell you some of my favorite tracks. Golden Gate, the first track, is amazing.
Beautiful.
I'm going to do it because
Change Your Heart or Die was my song of the summer before the whole album was out.
It was so good. So good. Is certainly one of my favorites on the album. I also love A Place of Her Own is amazing. Energy Never Dies, It Just Transforms. There's so many great songs. Just get Heroes. Just download it. Buy it anywhere you get music and listen to the music and listen to The Midnight and you'll fall in love. It's just great. Great.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Lee, we also got a listener suggested parting gift. This comes to us at dlcfeedback@gmail.com. This one comes to us from Richard in Texas. Richard writes, hey, after your discussion about how the $1 million console collection belongs in a museum, it got me thinking. Have you guys ever been to the National Video Game Museum? It's in Frisco, Texas, about 1 hour north of Dallas. We went last year. It's organized into 17 different stages from the beginning of video games, including a giant game of Pong, to the crash and to current gen games. And if you're ever in Dallas, it's worth the trip. Norman Caruso does a great video about this on his YouTube channel, The Gaming Historian. Check that out if you're curious. No, I have never been here. Christian, have you ever been there? I know you go to Texas frequently. No? Someplace I definitely would like to go.
Family there now, so it seems like it's well now, like since the pandemic, but not any time we've been. But it seems like an easier place to get to, perhaps in the near future.
Yeah, great. I think this is a great parting gift because it puts it back on my radar. It's definitely someplace I would like to visit. The National Video Game Museum in Frisco, Texas. These images that I'm looking at of it just make it seem really, really fun and cool. Like recreations of, like, you know, 1980s living rooms with consoles in them, and it just really seems like it has a lot of fun to it. So thank you, Richard, for that awesome parting gift. If you'd like to have your parting gift read on our show, send it to us. dlcfeedback@gmail.com is where you send those. All right, that's it for this episode of DLC. Thanks again to Rich Grisham and Christian Spicer for hanging out with me. Thanks to our musical contributors Patrick L, Sean Madigan, and Zero Star for the awesome bumpers. Thanks to our theme song composers, White Cube, which is Jason Sherry and T. Ryan Arnold. If you'd like to get DLC swag, t-shirts and hats and mugs, you can find them at dlcswag.com, which was generously created by Jesse J. Anderson. Thank you for that. We do have to thank a very important group of people as well. That is our Hype Train patrons at patreon.com/dlcpod. They get a shout out at the end of every episode because they are our top tier patrons, and we are very, very grateful. You can become one of them at patreon.com/dlcpod. We're going to thank them by name right now.
Yes, indeed. It is my pleasure to thank these Hype Train patrons for making this show, Paid DLC, possible, and just really, you know, you're all the best. You're the best. So let's get rolling down that hype track. Hype track? It's not a hype track. It's a hype train, but it runs on a regular train track, or a train track of hype. It's like Rainbow Road. Okay, Jason Novak, Octavian Ratziu, Christian Bravery, Jad, Peter Olberg, Michael Buck, Mike Lombardo, the Spice Man Silencer. The Spice Man has been for too long. Albert for Helda Dios, Jonathan, Spice Man Forever. Jonathan, I've let you down. Sheplifer, Jonathan, I'm so sorry. I gotta wait. I don't know. When's the right? There will be. It's kind of like the hype train track. We'll get there. Don't worry. You and me, we'll get there. Stu Goss, Kevin Brazel, Ben, Palman. Yeah, I got to say it first name. Here we go. Dan Palmino. My gosh. Malcolm King, Mark Gowland, Jonathan Putney, Will with one L Harris, Chris Zacharias, Jonathan Talbert, Scooby Diesel, Adam Denby, Sasan, Dan Flanagan, Anthony Gulas, Andy Joyce, Matt Valdez, John Cisco, David Epp, Hyperboy 66, Shoruken, Ken. I should say the Ken stronger because I'm saying like kin, like family. I guess we are all family deciding what a hype train track would be called. Shoruken, Comedian Aaron Trahan, Curtis from Louisville, Relentless Rex, Michael S., Kyle Starr, Riley Knox, Rob Rixman, Hank Patton, Cheesy Bob, Victor Venezuela, Matt Bradley, Jeff Luxack, Mitchell Ness, Jimmy Radcliffe, Scott Hughes, Jenny, Nate, Zachary White, Yick, Soren Silk, Travis, Jackson, Michael Stadler, Nick Strauss-Klein, Josh Peek, Taylor Wiggert, Hype Train Track of Hype, The Track of Hype. This is The Track of Hype. Okay, I'm going to stop talking. Thank you all very much.
All right, that's it for this episode. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, think about what you put out into the world. Make it a better place.